Welcome to Full Spectrum with JP, where we discuss the science that is behind the science that is invisible in the dark corners of the recesses of the secret space program, dark research of the 20th century. We find the full spectrum of science. Join us tonight. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Anna said that Buckingham Palace has now... Yeah, okay. So the plan, the idea was that the Buckingham Palace, or the royals, this went on their website, it stayed there for a few minutes, and then it disappeared. And the guy apparently got a screen capture and then started putting it around the internet, going, look what they put up on the website, right? So I thought, well, look, okay, even if we do know that the royals might be reptilians or shapeshifters and all that, the fact that this guy did it, to me, it was fake anyway. So what I did is I went into Photoshop, and if you go over to where Open Your Mind Radio Facebook page, I've actually done a web page designed exactly the way he did it, but I've put on it Open Your Mind Radio. The Queen listens to Open Your Mind Radio every Sunday. Right? And it looks exactly like a page that would be on there. The URL is the same. The page title is the same. The graphics, everything looks the same. And it's, the Queen listens to Open Your Mind Radio. Just to prove the point that you can do a lot with Photoshop.
Indeed. Especially if you really know, if you know your bits and bytes, you can get down to it and, you know, go around exifs and stuff like that. And really, if you know yourself, you know, if you've been in, like, I imagine you've been in the business as long as I have, if you know that kind of stuff, you can undermine any data encryption or anything like that, because it's all down to bits and bytes, and those can be manipulated. Anyway, we're not talking about computers tonight. We're not talking about digital, because, something that, has, as I said, been on my mind since those times is, well, yeah, there's a very real possibility that electricity could, well, number one, get really expensive, or number two, become rare, and, you know, you might only have like 5 hours a day of electricity in some sort of power-saving thing that where we have to tighten our belts and all that stuff. So to that end, I set my mind to thinking, well, why don't I have... And the other thing was, like, bloody transformers. You know, I kick them, I break them, they fall over, you know, you trip over the plugs, you break the wires. Wouldn't it be handy, instead of having 1,000 little boxes that you plug your stuff into when you've got something that runs on a low voltage, you plug it into the mains, it's got a little black box. Each of those black boxes has a field, a little transformed field. So all around your house, if you were to take an electric guitar, for instance, you would hear all around it. So I thought, wouldn't it be nice not to have that either? So to that end, I got myself, some car batteries and a little distribution board and lots of wire and some crimpers. And I've been building in my house an infrastructure that is DC based. I've got a 12 volt. And the 12 volt runs off the car batteries, which is charged by solar panels. And my friend gave me a wind turbine for my birthday. He didn't buy it. He works on a building site and he found it, but he thought of me and he brought it to me. But still, he gave it to me for my birthday. And so I've got that set up, and so I've got all these things feeding a 12 volt, and I've got this 12 volt feed all over the house. I'm very slowly kitting it out with the, you know, LED lights and it's looking quite spiffy. And it's now got to the point when I can walk into a room or walk down the corridor and the lights go on as I walk down and they go off after a few minutes so that I can go and get my cup of tea during the show. During the long Scottish winters, I can walk down the corridor and carry my cups of tea without having to switch the lights on and off.
Very good.
So,
very good.
Alan. What's your position on that? I mean, that was my position of seeing power cuts in the future and stuff like that. So, from you're doing your off-grid thing, what's your position on that?
Right. Okay. Well, like you, I'm out on the sticks. And we suffer from power outages. Funny enough, the last one that we had, we were interviewing Mark Stevens, who was into the legal side. And just as myself and Steve, we were doing a pre-record, and just as myself and Steve said goodbye to him on Skype, the whole power went down, everything went down for a few hours, you know. And it drives me mad. Everything crashed a whole lot. So myself and Steve said, right, we're going to have to do something about this because these power cuts are getting quite frequent. And then people have to remember that things are getting kind of volatile from a celestial point of view. I mean, let's look back in history. 1859 was a Carrington effect where we had a solar eclipse. Coronal mass ejection, and basically in 1859, because they didn't have a lot of electricity, they only had telegraph poles. One or two people got electrocuted, but it wasn't a major issue. But we are going to be hit by that again. As a kind of amateur ham radio licensed person, we are familiar with sunspots, and we are well overdue to be hit by another coronal mass ejection. Now, we just missed one in 2012. It just missed the planet. And depending on what way we're facing, the sun will, you know, what way it's going to affect us. There's also the threat of EMP as well. Whether it's natural or whether it's caused by, you know, the cabal, that's another thing. So it's all really down. Myself and Steve said, right, we're going to have to do something about having some kind of backup plan. Should things go down. If people want to catch a great documentary on National Geographic on YouTube called American Blackout, it actually goes into detail of 10 days without power, what would happen. And they give you the example where you have a prepper on one side and you have a person who's in a condominium going, where's the maintenance man? There's no power. And they're not prepared or anything. Brilliant documentary, covers all different areas and what to expect. So very important that people are kind of prepped. So myself and Steve said, right, we need to put a plan of action in place. And so we're looking at two versions of the solar chargers. Basically, we're looking at a 12-volt version and we're looking at a 240, 220 version. So actually, being an amateur and a ham radio operator, the one thing about the training is they teach you, you know, I have a background, I've done electronics anyway, but they also teach about ohms law and calculations and all that kind of stuff. So, and that's what you have to do. You have to work out what your load is, what you're going to be using. Now, I know you mentioned car batteries there, JP, and they are better than nothing. But you're better off getting deep cycle batteries, because car batteries are great for starting cars because they need the instant power to get things going. So they're not as durable or long life lasting than deep cycle batteries, marine deep cycle batteries.
Yeah. When I say car battery, I did start with them, but I've now got the what are called leisure batteries. They're not the submarine types. I'd love a set of them, but I'm actually also going to go for lithium ion polymer, as recommended by another guest on this program. But we can talk about those later.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Well, that's it. You know.
So we've been through a cycle of it. So sorry to interrupt. So you've got yourself two systems there.
Well, we're going to be building two systems. The first one, what we're going to do is we're going to do the 240 first. Because we need that straight away with the power going. You have to work out what your load is going to be. And basically we're starting off with the basic. So we have a battery box. We've put our deep cycle marine battery in that. We have bought our inverter, which is a 600 watt inverter. And then we have a charge controller, which is a 10 amp charge controller. And we're going to have, we have a little kind of cigarette lighter, USB cigarette lighter, power switch, and volt gauge. And also we're going to get a power meter as well for the battery. And we're going to put that all in the battery box so we can basically pick it up and bring it where we want to. Then we're going to have to get our hands on. So that's initially going to give us power. Now we don't have the solar panels as yet. We do have two small 10 watt solar panels, but they're no good, because when you start getting into the calculations of what you need, the time it takes to recharge, the amount of sunshine you get in a day. Now, I live in Ireland and you live in Scotland. Sunshine, what's that? You know?
Yeah, we had one of them once.
Yeah.
And everybody smiled and then they stopped smiling afterwards.
Yeah, we had 6 days of sunshine over here and that's our summer.
Really? Six? Yeah, six? Luxury. Yeah. Luxury.
6 days of sunshine, that's all we had. So basically you have to do all your calculations. So you have to work out what you're going to need to power in your house just to get you up and running. And basically what you also need to do is work out how many hours you're going to get sunlight. Now the two panels you can get are polycrystalline and monocrystalline. Now the monocrystallines actually work better in bad light. So we'd start off with the 100 watt monocrystalline. And then what we do is build up from there and build it up to about probably hopefully 400 watts each. And then use them. My back garden is actually south facing, so it's ideal. And we just basically, you just plug in your charge regulator to the panels and just, trickle charge it that way. Now the idea will be to obviously down the road when you have money, because the marine deep cycle batteries are quite expensive. I'd like to get two of them, because a lot of people think, you know, oh, we'll stick it in and we'll get all the charge from it and we'll just charge it up again. But if you look at the kind of science of, you know, the whole charging idea, you only really should really go down with a deep cycle marine battery. Oh, you'd only go use about 80% of the battery, probably 70 to 80%. All right. You wouldn't go down all the way. You wouldn't use the whole lot. You know, I have to recharge
it. Yeah, because if you discharge one of these things, you kill it.
Yeah.
You know, if you take, you know, it's got 12 volts in it and you run it down to like 6 volts, you just killed it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to do that. So yeah, with the marine batteries, they're quite good. So you could do about 70 or 80% of the capacity and then you'd have the charge number up again. Now, you know, people say, okay, that's great. You run it down to 80% and we charge it up again. But then if you look at how much sun you're going to get, how long it takes based on the wattage of the panels you have, you might run it down to 80%, use 80% of it. And if you've only got 100 watt panel, it could take 5 days to charge it back up to 100%. So you'll have 5 days without any power to wait for it to be charged up. So this is why it's very important to work out your calculations, how much power you're going to use. And a lot of the time it's a case of, you know, you get the speed if you're driving down the car with the driving down the hill with the wind behind you. There's a lot of that going on because you have to allow for, well, what kind of charge controller do I have? What kind of panels do I have? What cables do I have? And all these little things you have to take into consideration because there's a level of loss for all this technology and you have to factor all that in as well.
So what have you got so far? Because the thing is, Alan, you know, you can have all the preparation you like, but unless you're using it every day, you have no idea how long it's going to last So to that end, how are you living it? Have you incorporated it into a little time into your life?
No, basically, what we have is we have everything bar the actual solar panels. So what myself and Steve are going to be doing now is we're going to be going down to, he's a shed. So we're going to bring the equipment down and we're going to be putting it all together and building we're building two versions, one for Steve, one for myself. And we're going to be taking the video of how we're doing it. And then we're going to put it up on YouTube for people to see what we're doing and how we do it. And then we're going to give it a dry run with the equipment. I've already gone around. I've done one of these devices that you can buy. I think they're about 10 sterling that you can buy them. And what you do is you plug them into the wall and then whatever device you want to find out what the amperage is and what the watts are, you plug your device in and it tells you what power it's taking and what amperage it is.
Yeah, I've got one as well. So these are very useful. I mean, you can have a couple and I've got one on the back of my electric kettle and I'm getting an alarming figure that's building up.
Oh yeah.
It'll count up each. For if you leave it on one device, it'll tell you how much over a month you've been using this damn thing. It's frightening.
It is frightening. And this is why you need to be looking at reducing your power as much as you can. Now, so I've gone around, so I said, at the moment I said to my partner, I said, right, if another power cut happens, what do we need just to have up and running until the power comes back, assuming it will come back? So we said, right, we need a light in the room, and we need the TV, and we need the Skybox. Now, I don't have Sky subscription. We have this free view. You just plug in the box. The actual, funny enough, the Sky dish Steve found in a ditch. So we took it out of the ditch, and we put it on the wall, and we tuned it all in, and happy days. So everything done for free, because we've no budget kind of type of system at the moment. So what we said, right, just to get us by, we'll have a light, a lamp in the actual room to light the room, and a bit of TV. So, you know, while we're waiting on the power to come back. Now the lamp, it's one of these kind of dimmer light switches. So I kind of, took it apart and took all the crap off it and then redid it and put in a new rose, kept the dimmer switch option because you can reduce the power. And then I bought an LED, bulb, which only takes 6.8 watts. But it gives you the energy of about a 40 or 50 watt bulb, something like that. So, and on the stickers, I have stickers on the TV, stickers on the Skybox, and stickers on the light, which tells me the wattage and the amperage. Now, I've roughly done the calculations, and what I have, and I reckon, you know, give or take, I have 110 amp hour battery, and it's going to be taking 0.67 of an amp, so less than an amp of power. But on an 80% drain, I reckon I'd probably get about 110 hours. I'd probably just go 50% of that. So that's 60 hours, give or take. So that's right. Not too bad.
So let me just button now. Because here's the thing. It's a lot less than you expect.
Yes.
I have to tell you. It's really, you know, like 110 amp hours. That's true.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I haven't factored in, you know, as I say, in the ideal world, you're driving downhill with the wind behind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know you have to allow for all the subtle bits and pieces. And although I'm saying 60 hours, chances are I know it's going to be a lot less than that.
All right. So how many guessing? So here's my thinkings on these ideas, right? And you know, hopefully, you'll get an idea. Cause what I'm talking about is a kind of hybrid. Cause you see what you've got the battery, you've got the solar panel charging the battery, and then you've got an inverter running off the battery, going up to 240 volts. And then you've got a LED light bulb that then has a little circuit in it that takes that 240 back down to about 12.
Totally, yeah.
All right. So why not cut out all of that oscillation and refrigeration and all that stuff, and just run the LED directly from the battery? So what I'm suggesting, the reason I'm suggesting it is because that's what I've got here. I've got a 12 volt rail in my house.
Right, okay. So.
Just like your ring, you know, like you got your ring main. I've got a retrofit, you know, it's just basically stapled on a little conduit I put on the wall, you know, and I can hang lights off the conduit.
Mm.
And that, it drops down and I've got a socket, just like your mains plug. You know, your 3-pin mains plug.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of the 12 volt sockets, and inside the box is a 5 volt USB supply that runs off 12 volts.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you can charge all your devices off the USBs, and you can run your radios and your lights off the 12 volts. That's the arrangement that I'm building into my house.
Mm. Yeah, see, that runs
straight off the battery rather than inversion. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's the problem with air electronics. As you say, we all air equipment has transformers. So the power comes into the house into 240, and it steps down the transformer to probably between 12, 18, less than that, depending on the equipment it's using. And if you can bypass the transformer, as you say, and do it that way, it'd be much better, because you're taking all that extra energy that you don't need if you can bypass it.
Correct.
taking the 6.8 watt light bulb, LED light bulb, and plugging it into a 12 volt system. I haven't thought about doing it. I'll have to see. It's not going to work though.
Well, so here's the thing. This is what because I've been working the technology. I've been going to eBay and seeing what have you got that replace. And the first thing that I found, right? Okay, so you remember the you got them all the time. These lamps that you get at say Asda or Argos or something, and it's got a little kind of dome at the bottom, and then a kind of telescopic pair of little telescopic arms, and a little dome at the top, and it's got a bright halogen light in it. Have you seen that sort of thing?
I'm trying to picture
it
now.
They call them a desk lamp.
Oh, a desk lamp, yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's got a little transformer at the bottom, and it sends the 12 volts up the two rails into the dome at the top, little plastic dome, and it's got a halogen bulb in a metal housing, yeah?
With
a piece of glass. Now, these little bulbs, now these are really, really common, these lamps. They're all over the place, and everybody's got them in their attic. Do you know why? Because there is a bulb that they have that is incredibly expensive, incredibly fragile. You can't touch it with your fingers. It's a total pain in the butt, right?
Sounds like a projector bulb.
Yeah, that sort of thing. It's like a mini halogen projector bulb.
Yeah.
And you've got to use rubber gloves to touch it and stuff like that. Because, you know, it gets the hot spots and then breaks. And so they're very fragile, very limited, and a real pain in the butt and quite expensive. So I went around looking for alternatives because I thought I've got a couple of these bloody things. This is how I got into it, right? And, I found a replacement, little circuit board with a couple of pins out of it of, an array of LEDs. And I thought, oh, that's quite good. And it says replacement for caravans and that's really cool. So I ordered a few. And I was gobsmacked because what comes back is this little device that, yes, it's got these pins, but you can desolder them. You can plug your own, put your own pins in. You can really easily rewire them. But not only that, Alan, they are polarity insensitive, which means it doesn't matter if you put them backwards or forwards. Mm. They don't care. They've got their own rectification in them. And allows you to run it, whether you've wired it backwards or forwards, you know, you've got your positive or your negative around the right way.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you're on the right idea with what you're doing. Myself and Steve have talked about that idea, saying, imagine if you designed your own house, you could have 12 volt sockets beside your 240 volt
sockets.
Correct. Right? That's the idea. Now, what I'm looking at doing, I can get my hands on a lot of 12 volt equipment like kettles. So instead of getting your kettle and connecting it to the inverter and taking all that power.
Yes, you got it.
I can get, well no, this is what we've been looking at. I can get 12 volt equipment like a kettle and plug it in to a 12 volt socket and bypass the inverter. The inverter is only there really for the telly and for the skybox.
Yeah. And you know, you could even look at the skybox because the skybox probably has a 12 volt power supply in it. And
yeah,
the TV probably also has a 12 volt power supply. You could probably, and you can certainly get 12 volt screens and 12 volt TV boxes and stuff like that, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what it is. It's just changing around. Now the plan of attack, if we ever got the finances to do it, would be obviously to put a transfer switch or a switch box over, and you have to get a qualified electrician in who's certified. And basically what you do is you have your main switchboard, and you put the transfer box beside the main switchboard, bring over all your electrical circuits that you require, like your plugs. You don't bring over the likes of the shower or the cooker and stuff like that. Mm. You just bring over the sockets and a few, the fridge and stuff like that. And basically, when there's a power cut, I mean, normally what people do is they get a generator and they'd have a generator going with it's a noisy or quiet generator, and the generator would plug into the switch box. You'd flick over your switches when there's a power cut and the power would come from the generator and then it'd give you power back in your house, which is, you know, great. And you can get quiet generators, but then again, the generator takes either petrol or diesel or whatever. Mm. Now, there is a company in Canada, and I rang them a couple of weeks ago, called GDS Technologies, who are actually going to be selling a water generator at the end of the year.
Wow. So basically you can have a tiny hydro.
Whatever way, I mean, if you go onto YouTube.
When you say water, do you mean it's using brown gas?
No, water, as in water.
So the like a water mill.
Well, what you do is you pour the water in, like you'd have an engine, like a diesel generator. You pour the water in, and then there you go. That's your generator.
It's a brown gas. Brown's gas. It divides the water into oxygen and hydrogen and burns it again.
Like Stanley Meyer. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that, doing
well,
that.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a hydro. Yeah. Hydroxy. Hydroxy. Yeah. They call it. But brown.
I don't know.
Brown gas is another one.
Yeah, he doesn't say that on the video. He doesn't say it, but yeah, it'd probably be like Stanley Myers dividing the H2O. But if you go onto YouTube and type GDS technologies, you'll actually see the guy demonstrating the actual generator. And I thought, well, you're probably talking about between $5,000 and $7,000 to get it, to buy one. But to be honest with you, if they're going to be selling them at the end of the year and it does take water and it's based on that principle, well then, happy days, you know. The trouble is, I don't know whether, I mean, they hopefully ship them over here, over to Ireland and the UK. But because the problem is the diesel. Now, there's a chap who lives not too far away from me, and a couple of years ago, he was running his house for 2 years on a generator, and he was making his own biodiesel by going down to the local chip shop and getting the chip fat. And he had a 4,000 gallon tank where he converted this into biodiesel, and which he was then putting into a generator. But the problem was, is when the kind of government cottoned on that people were doing this, they stopped all the chip shops from giving out their the chip oil and the fat, and it's actually been sent off to the UK.
So that is just so typical.
There you go.
Of the mafia that runs our countries.
Yeah.
I say countries, I mean all over the planet. We are, you know, when people say mob rule, people think, oh, it's just, no, mob rule is like the people out in the streets. No, mob rule is ruled by the mob. The mob is the mafia.
Yeah,
if there's money there, if there's shit, they're there.
Yeah, democracy is mob rule. Yeah. I mean, if you look at what democracy is, it's mob rule. So yeah, and I know over in the UK there's a law that states that if you're doing your own kind of biodiesel, you'd only produce a certain amount for personal use, and anything over that would be deemed as commercial and in trouble then if you start doing that. So you have to be careful.
So yeah, so it's best to be really kind of, we need to find ways of really eking the economy of this.
Well,
okay, so now here we are in where you live and where I live, we've got plenty of water. It rains on our houses every day. You know,
yeah.
It just takes a little tap in a little tube to go off to a discreet little thing, and you know, you can fill your tap from what's peeing on the roof all the time.
Well, I actually have a rain butt in my back garden. And
Does my rain butt look big in this?
My dad, he actually has plastic bottles of water, rainwater, which he's storing and he's collecting. Because over here, as you probably hear, JP, in Ireland, we already pay for our water, but our government wants us to pay for it again. And there's a big hoo-ha, and there's been demonstrations about it. And people are, you know, people who are ignorant, and ignorance is a lack of information, a lack of knowledge. And there's people over here saying, oh, but you have to pay for your water. Well, we are paying for our water. We pay for our water through our taxes, our 1.2 billion of taxes. Our water is being paid for, but the government are greedy and they want money like they always do. And they want us to pay for it again. And they want to privatize our water system and give it to a billionaire over here called Dennis O'Brien. And his company. And you know, there's a big kind of, water is the new blue gold anyway. So, but we do get a lot of water in Ireland and Scotland. So, but the plan of attack is for now is to get the solar panels, get the 240 volt system up and running, get a 12 volt system, mini 12 volt system up and running. And then hopefully over time with the, if money comes in from wherever, we'll start expanding the batteries, get more batteries, get bigger panels, and just start changing the technology to get better and better. Now, I don't know whether you heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I did see an article last year that said, because a lot of people in Spain and down the Med are looking at solar panels to save energy. And they were looking at, I don't know how successful they were, about putting a tax on solar panels. So they're taxing you for using the sun, basically.
Yeah, wow. They try it everywhere. You know, I can see that these years ahead are going to be tough. And the more resilient and self-reliant we are in that pioneering way that, like the early people who moved out west, and presumably the early people who lived in Ireland, created from what they have.
Mm.
Because very soon the deliveries will stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, that stuff's happened to Ireland before. And, you know, I'm sure that they're in that mindset is like, that's never going to happen to us again.
Well, the trouble is, it's like war. The generations we have now, they've never been involved in war, never had a war. So it's always, that will never happen. So they don't look at what's going on. They don't read between the lines. And if you look at Venezuela, you probably know what's going on with Venezuela. You've probably been watching it. I mean, 5 hours to queue up to get 2 jars of mayonnaise, and they're eating, you know, their pets and animals, and the black market is doing a roaring trade down there. And that could be any, now I know it's about the Ireland cabal and all that kind of stuff, but that could be Ireland, that could be the UK, you know,
your local street.
Yeah, exactly.
In a very, I mean, you look at these kids and they're sitting in a nice little African village one day, and the next minute there's militia and there's rape and there's torture, you know.
The whole lot, exactly. And this is, so people have to be prepared. So myself and Steve are getting prepped as much as we can and saying to people, look, you know, there's the cabal is broken up into 5 factions. And yes, you know, there's a number of kind of, won't say end of world scenarios, but things they want to bring in to get their new world order. And each faction has one of these plans, but nobody knows for sure which one they're going to use, if they will ever use one, or maybe they'll get stopped using it. I mean, we were told by one of our guests and by his intel that they did try to blow Yellowstone and San Andreas Fault, but they didn't succeed in doing it. They were stopped in doing it. But so they are trying to crash the systems. They are trying to do what they're doing. So it's up to, I'm just conscious that we're on a show that we're talking about energy. So it's up to the people to start looking at, you know, again, look at the National Geographic American Blackout program on YouTube. And that's the what if scenario. And just say to yourself, if the power went tomorrow and we didn't know when I was going to be back up, what would you do? And that's it. You have to think about, you know, contemplate that, because it's not until your power goes. And it happened to me last year. Now we had another power cut and I had none of the solar stuff in. I mean, at the moment, I don't have the 100 watt panel, but I have enough. I have what I need here to get power to the TV, to Skybox, the light. And if I need, I have camping stoves and gas. And so I've done all the kind of preppy stuff. So I have all that. So I'm pretty relaxed about certain things. But for people who are not, who don't really have anything, then if the power goes, you're really going to be knackered, because that means no banking, because you can't get your money out, because the ATMs be all gone. The power will be down. And so if you don't have any money, how are you going to get food? And, you know. So it's very important that if you are in the city, as I said to a friend of mine who lives in London, have a plan B to move out of the city, get into the country. If you have any friends or family, go to them and try and form a little community or group, because you can guarantee if we have a Mad Max scenario, which a lot of people are talking about as a possibility, then the safety in numbers. If you're on your own, forget about it. You've got roaming gangs coming down the road. You're not going to last. So you have to get with the community. You have to get with people. You have to educate them, tell them what's going on, and be as prepped as much as you can. Now, it's very hard to be self-sufficient these days because the government wants you to rely on them for everything. They don't like people who are trying to be self-sufficient. And they look at even the guy in Oregon who was jailed for 3 months for collecting rainwater and to trying to stop people having organic gardens because they're saying under health and safety. But it's because they don't want people being self-sufficient. So we all have to do our bit and be aware, especially if you're a family person and you have family and you have kids, you owe it to them to actually, you know, take care of them. I mean, be the person to protect them and think ahead. If nothing happens, you know, no big deal. My brother-in-law always said, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So it's better to have it. And if nothing happens, no big deal. If you have bought extra food in and nothing happens, hey, just use it. No problem at all. But if something does go down and, you know, I mean, it happened in Cyprus where the banks went down for a week and people couldn't get their money out. They couldn't get the medicines and they were, you know, it's 7 days, I think, 7 days before cannibalism kicks in. So, you know, just something to consider.
Well, there you go. And insanity is a couple of days before that. One of the points that you made quite towards the end, but it's a really important one, is not to just break out the preps food when you're needing it, is to use it. Live a prep life. Live a life that is actually quite low impact, that doesn't use so much electricity and doesn't put much of a drain on the world. Be less of a burden on the world. And you'll find that when the world lets you down, you have less of a burden to carry already.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. I totally agree. If you can do that, it's very hard with kids though. When you have young kids, you know, they're used to the luxuries and the TVs and stuff, but you still can reduce down the power as much as you can. So when or if something happens, then you can, you know, you're pretty much halfway adapted to what's going on.
Here's the thing. You can have a bicycle with a generator and that's your Xbox, kids. You have that's your battery. You want your Xbox? You pedal for it, kid. No kidding. Well, Wouldn't that be a brilliant idea?
No, I totally agree. I'd love to know, I know alternators are a fantastic source of power, but I don't know enough about them. There's so many coils and so much power you can get over a car alternator, but I just don't know enough about it. Now, I like magnetics, right? I'd love to know a lot about magnetics because I think at the end of the day, relying on solar energy and wind power and water power is fine. But if you can use permanent magnets and rely on that to get your energy, then happy days.
Well, now, if you could have a permanent magnet motor running that was running a generator that was then charging your batteries, that you then run your inverters, that you have a completely good thing. Here's my problems. Washing machines, refrigerators, things with motors need... Yeah. They love the mains. They love 240 volts. You know, they love a good bit of juice.
Yeah.
So perhaps we can make, capacitor banks in our inverters that can, you know, get those motors running without too much stress. You know, cause that's the problem is the motor's starting.
Well, get your motor running.
That's the thing. So you have to,
I was just saying that the initial surge of equipment like that. So although it might be your washing machine might be 1400 watts, there might be a surge up to, I don't know, 2K or something as it powers on for about 5 seconds and then goes back. And that's why some inverters have a surge. So they might say there are 600 watt, for, normal usage, but they might go up to 1200 surge.
Wow. So we need various levels of power supply in that case. Cause, all right. And the other thing is to again, rethink the way we do things. So for instance, you have a washing machine that comprises one box that heats water and then does all the jiggery pokery and spinning around with the motor. If you could take the water heating function away, and that, a lot of these washing machines, they're called eco, which basically means that you take the water from your hot tap system, rather than, and it mixes with enough cold to just get to the temperature that it needs. And then that's good, and it doesn't need to use any extra power. And all it's going to be doing is turning motors. And look, as, you know, as we say, these motors take quite a lot of juice to start and stop them. And that's what a washing machine is doing all the time. It's starting and stopping. But, You know, aside from that, we've got the motor that is circulating the juice inside the fridge, and then we've also got the motor that's circulating the juice inside the house, the central heating pump. Mm. Right. So those are essentially the main, or you know, or air conditioning pumps as well. You know, if you're in a situation where you're having to keep cool instead of keeping warm, but essentially it's all the same thing. You know, basically you're talking about your central heating is a big washing machine, or is a big fridge. You know, it's the, you know, just like if you dismantled the fridge, turned it inside out, that's what's in the house, but working backwards. Instead of putting the heat into the house, it's putting the heat into the box.
Yeah. Well, this is it. You have to work out. I mean, I've used a bat before to clean clothes. It's not nice and it takes ages, but you know, a bath, yeah.
Oh, a bath. Sorry, a bath, I thought you meant a bat, like, as in a little thing that hangs upside down and poos guano.
I slipped into the Irish accent.
A bat.
I should have said, a bat, that's the Irish accent, a bath. I've used a bath to actually do my clothes, and I know it's a bit kind of down the stream, bashing the clothes with a rock, but look, it did the job, and you have to be inventive at times when you don't have the power. Now, it's not a great way to do it, but look, I think you should always have a plan A, plan B, and plan C. And like I have a cooling fridge, which I got off a friend of mine. I think he wasn't using it. I did some work for him and he gave it to me. And it's 12 volts. So it's a little mini fridge. You know, it's ideally, you know, I think the idea is you put in a few cans of Coke, whatever, and you go off on holiday, and it keeps things cool. It keeps your beers cool and what have you. Now, it's not as good as a fridge, but it still works and it keeps it cool and it's 12 volts. Ideal. The likes of, as I say, I can get various products that are 12 volt. Truckers use them, so I can get 12 volt stoves, 12 volt kettles, 12 volt, you know, I can get a lot of that stuff off a supplier I know. So I'll be probably buying.
That would be a very interesting thing you could have off your site, actually.
Well, I put this way, that's something that I'm going to be looking into.
Alan's psychedelic solar panel shop. Interesting.
Going to be energy. It's alternative energy, but I'll talk to you off air about that.
Yeah.
I'll let you know what the plan of attack is, because it's on the drawing board.
It sounds like fun. Alan, we're kind of coming very close, because we haven't got a very lot of time at the end of the show. Because I'm doing Strange Universe just after this, and then you know, I'm in the midst of several shows. So thanks for joining me for this brief but deep encounter.
No problem. Cheers for having me on.
It's been really good. So just to kind of wrap up, so your state of play is that you've got some of the stuff, you're learning about it. So here's what I'd recommend, right? Before you get your solar panel, you can practice, because all you need to do is stick a battery charger on the battery.
Yeah, but I know all that.
All right, so.
Yeah.
But you can.
I've already been testing it and using it, so.
Good. So yeah. Then the next thing is, do you know, well, of course you know. You know what a UPS is?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, essentially, you need that. That's what you basically scale up a UPS to make what your house is.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, as I say, we won't be advanced as you running your DC sockets around the house, but I will be looking at certain things around the house that I'll need the power. Just the bog standard stuff where, you know, as I say, the mini fridge is there. We have a gas, a camping stove, and we have gas backup. And now we can sort out some kind of washing machine scenario. That would be quite good as well. So we need to look at that.
Yeah. So. Let's keep brainstorming about this. I want to bring in, maybe we can do a little round table in another few weeks or something like that, and bring Wynn in, Wynn Keach, and he can answer any question you have about battery technologies and stuff like that. So if you really, you know, you get all your ideas and you think, oh, well, what really is the best thing? He's your man to have the final kind of this is the most appropriate one for you.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I mean, as you say, the plan of attack is to get everything on 12 volts as much as you can and bypass the 240. That would be the aim of everything.
All right. So now here's the other thing is that I'd also recommend getting a few of these little circuit boards. They're really cheap. They're only about 5 or each. And they're 12, they have a 12 volt input and they have 4 USB sockets. So that's for your kids because they're all going to want to charge their iPads and mobile phones off the 12 volt battery.
Yeah.
So you get a few of those.
That's going to be in the solar panel. So that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Also I'm looking at, there's a circuit that you can get, which actually is boosts the actual power from something like 5 volts to 35 volts.
Oh yeah. That's called a boost converter.
Yeah.
And so you'll need one of those to run your laptops.
Well, this is why I'm looking at the circuitry out there to do that. And believe it or not, in front of me at the moment, I have a few shotgun shells, empty cartridges, and I won't ask you
who you use those on, but anyway, go on.
I won't say anything. but I got a few of these gifted to me, and basically, I'm looking at converting these into a number of uses, and one of them is a backup USB charger for your mobile phone.
Ah, very cute. Very cute.
And you can carry it around on your keyring.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to charge up your phone, you know, sometimes you have a phone and you think, oh, I've no power, I need power. You just kind of plug in your phone to it, your USB device is going to be in it, and you put a little, the 9-volt battery on it, and then that's it, you're up and running.
So here's the thing, and certainly I've been investigating these things too, right? And there's a thing called an 18650. You've heard of an 18650?
18650, remind me.
All right, so batteries are designated, the numbers are designated by their diameter in millimeters and their length to one decimal point. So 18650 is 18 millimeters in diameter and 65.0 millimeters long.
Right.
And
okay.
These are the batteries that you're finding in your high-powered devices like your e-cigarettes. Have you seen these guys walking around with an e-cigarette that looks like a kind of little cigarette packet almost?
They're doing the vaping.
Yeah, the vaping, right? So in there, they have these lithium-ion batteries, right? They're the same as you get in a laptop, actually.
Okay.
This is the 18650, and this is, I've been entering the world of this, in a world where batteries are 18 millimeters wide. So, just practicing my voice, you've got that.
18650.
So 18650. And these go in and you get packs of these and you can sold it. You can look on YouTube, people are doing this. And they go around and they get a whole load of dead laptops. Now this is maybe something that it might be available to you. They take them all apart and then they rip all the batteries, all the pieces of battery apart, because one or two of the cells have died. And they then recharge all the batteries for a cycle or two and then measure the ones that are good, put them all in the pack in similar packs. So you might put 5 of them or 4 of them in parallel.
Mm.
And then you get a 3.7 cell that you can then multiply up. So you have 3 of them and that makes 11.1. 4 of them makes 15 point something. So that you get, that's your 12 volt supply.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, this is what people are doing. You can check it out on YouTube and they're making little spot welders to make these things easily because you can't damage them. It's hard to solder them because, the heat damages these lithium batteries.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a couple of, dead laptops here at the moment.
So, and there are ways of doing that, of recycling dead laptops, to get all their juice, their final juice out. Now, you've also heard of the Joule Thief?
I heard the name, but just remind me what it is.
The Joule Thief is used, in that device that you were describing. It's called a buck converter or a boost converter. But basically what it does, it creates a AC voltage by, using field collapse. They charge up, all right, so you've got a transistor circuit and it basically, allows a magnetic field to build up in a coil.
Mm.
Then when it built up to the top, it then, disconnects it and then the magnetic field collapses back into the coil, thus generating a small pulse of current that then is fed back into the circuit to keep it going again. And it's like a kind of push-pull pump thing.
Okay.
All right. And what that does, it uses a really, it's very much like the flash gun circuit in the old fashioned flash cameras. Do you know the ones that go so they have a circuit like that that builds up charge in a capacitor. So this thing is then, you then feed that pulse into a capacitor, and then the circuit keeps running. And essentially you can then get a much higher voltage, and then you can regulate the voltage back down again, because you've got these tiny little spikes. Yeah, you see, so
okay.
it converts DC into these very, very fine spikes, like 100 kilohertz or something like that. And then it filters it back down again to produce a DC at a different voltage.
Yeah, but how dirty would that be?
Well, that's according to your filtration and, of course, your shielding. And none of these things are ever shielded, but that's what they just wrap a bit of shrink wrap around there. That'll do.
that's what I'd be concerned about.
So anyway, these are the circuits that you find in your buck converters.
Excellent.
So check it out. That's how they work.
Brilliant. Well, anything like that, there used to be a program on years ago, and you're roughly the same age as me. It used to be on Saturday mornings called Take Another Look. And I think people need to look at what they have in the house and say, well, what else could that be used for besides what it's designed?
Maybe we could revive it, Alan. You and me both, we can say, look at this old piece of crap. Oh, look, we can make a this out of it. Look, we can, I'm not kidding. I'm really into recycling and upcycling, and this show is about that kind of thing. Full Spectrum Science, you have been listening to on Wolf Spirit Radio. I've been talking to Alan James of Open Your Mind Island. Do you want to have a quick plug of whatever you want to do right now? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, okay. Open Your Mind Radio every Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. GMT time, same time as the UK. Go to our website, oimradio.com. I'd like to thank JP for having us on. Just to say that on this Sunday, we're going to be talking about reality shifting and basically the Mandela effect seems to be doing the rounds at the moment. So thanks for the plug, JP. Thanks for having me on, and have a good one.
Excellent. Thank you very much. This has been Full Spectrum Science.